Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph's, Missouri. We're just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. We would like to invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Bible study and 10:20 for worship, 4 in the afternoon for worship, and then Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. I would like to direct your minds to this thought this morning. Consider thy latter end. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what is life all about? Why am I here? Where am I going? As we make this journey through time from the cradle to the grave, we need to consider what our latter end is going to be. Moses used this phrase while teaching the children of Israel in a song, actually, and you find that in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we're going to look at verses 28 and 29. And there he says, "For they are a nation void of counsel, and there is no understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." And that's what we want to think about this morning. Able to properly consider our latter end, we must first and foremost have divine wisdom. It is true that man can look out into the universe, viewing creation, and through his own reasoning power, he can understand that there's a greater force or power than himself. And if he is realistic, he would understand that it has to be a being, not just dead inorganic matter that would have existed forever. And so when one turns to the passage in the book of Psalm 19, actually the first verse, we see the truth given to us by this Creator when it says there, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." In fact, the fellow who won't even listen to his own reasoning power is classified by God in the 14th Psalm and verse 1, where it says there, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." But man cannot reason beyond this without revelation from his Creator. And this is where the Bible comes in. In Psalm 19:7, it says there, "The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple." This revelation is inspired of our Creator, Jehovah God. And so let's look at 2 Peter and verses 20 and 21 concerning this inspired word that God has given to us. And he informs us that he is involved in this word, and it's not just something that man thought up. There it says in verses 20 and 21, "Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit." Today we have no excuse for not having all that we need to know in order to live right while here upon this earth to please our Creator. Let's go to Romans and look at a passage there in Romans chapter 1. It gives us some insight as to what has happened with mankind. Beginning at verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, But the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness," and "unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of God is manifest in them. For God himself manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Because that, knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Dear friend, will we be as those who profess to be wise, but are fools? Or shall we consider the things God tells us about our future? Now, in order to properly do that, we have to be involved in learning to properly fear God. We find a passage in Ecclesiastes, actually the last two verses in that book, and if you study the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer is seeking for where do we find true happiness? Everybody is after happiness. Well, the answer is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, the last two verses. This is the end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so we see that this fear is most important in our being able to live the way that our Creator wants us to live upon this earth. And we're going to give an account for all that we've done on this earth. So godly fear moves us to do our Creator's will. Godly fear involves acting with caution. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, let's look at that verse there, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Now, he had no idea what a flood was. It had never rained before. He was told to build this huge boat, referred to as an ark. It took him and his son-in-law 120 years to build it. And he preached the gospel at that time was to obey God, turn back to God, because there was this flood coming. He had godly fear. He did what God told him to do. Godly fear involves acting with caution, walking circumspectly, doing God's will. Let's look at a couple of Old Testament passages. First, I want to look at Jeremiah chapter 5 and verses 22 through 25. The prophet Jeremiah, now all the prophets dealt with this subject of fearing God, but I want you to look at verses 22 through 25 of Jeremiah 5. There it says, "Fear ye not me, saith Jehovah? Will you not tremble at my presence? Who hath placed the sand for the bound of the sea? By a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it, and through the waves, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolt and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear Jehovah our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in its season, that preserveth unto us the anointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good from you." So here we see the principle that we're talking about. Now go with me to Deuteronomy. I want to go back to Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter first. Look at a few verses there, and then we'll go to the 31st chapter. In the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 19 and looking at verse 19 and 20, it says, "That shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life." It's talking about the Word of God. "And that he may learn to fear Jehovah his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." And also in the 31st chapter, again, looking at verses 12 and 13, it's talking about assembling them to hear the law read, the reading of the law, the hearing of the law. It says, so that they may hear and that they may learn and fear Jehovah your God and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known may hear and learn to fear Jehovah your God as long as you live in the land, whether you go over the Jordan, whether you go over to the Jordan to possess it. So I want you to notice carefully that proper fear of the Creator comes from hearing His Word. We have to study His Word. We have to hear and learn it. It says not just hear it, but learn it. Apply it to our lives to understand it, accept it as God's will, as the truth, as not a fable that men have thought of, but as it is in reality the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, and then we can properly fear our Creator. And so we have to understand this. This revelation is inspired by our Creator, Jehovah God, and this is what we must adhere to if we want to have our latter end to be good and not bad. Now, we also need to think about the time we have here on this earth. We all understand that we're all going to die. We're not going to live forever on this earth. And we see this happening every day. People are dying. And we know that our time is coming when we are going to leave this earth. We are going to go from this realm into that place called Hades, the spiritual realm, and await the judgment day according to what the scriptures teach. I want you to go with me to James chapter 4. And let's look at verses 13 through 15. James chapter 4 and verses 13 through 15. Come now, you that say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into the city and spend a year there and trade and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? What is your life? You are just a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. And so we understand the principle from that passage and other passages that our life is a very short, fleeting time as far as eternity is compared to, and we're just like a vapor. We just appear for a little time on this earth. We don't have a lot of time to prepare for eternity. So we must consider our latter end, and that's what this lesson is all about, to help encourage us to do just that. We need to be about our business of seeking after divine wisdom while we have the opportunity, while we have the time. Back in the book of Proverbs, in the Old Testament, I wanted to look at the first eight verses of chapter 8. It says there, or chapter 2, not 8, chapter 2, but we'll read verses 1 through 8. My son, if you will receive my words and lay up my commandments with you, so as to incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yea, if you cry after discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and you search her out as for hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of Jehovah and find the knowledge of God. Now I want you to understand, dear listener, that word being told here exactly what we need to be involved in doing. Listen to God's word. Study God's word. Seek for the truth. And if we properly understand that, then we will receive, we will have that fear of Jehovah that we read about in the Bible. So it says, then shall you understand the fear of Jehovah and find the knowledge of God. For Jehovah gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity, that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and justice and equity, yea, every good path. And so this is what we have to put into our hearts, God's word. Divine wisdom teaches us that we cannot follow our own wisdom. Unfortunately, that's what most people try to do. They follow the doctrines and commandments of men. They follow their own think souls, what they think, instead of going to God's Word and letting God's Word control their thinking. In Jeremiah 10:23, it says, O Jehovah, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. So we understand that from that verse. And then verse 24, it was verse 23. I want to go back to Proverbs 14 and verse 12 and look at a passage there. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 very quickly. And there it says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now we can fool ourselves, dear listener, and we can think we're okay, and oh, we won't consider our latter end. We don't worry about what's going to happen after we die. We just live the way we want here and enjoy every day to the fullest, do what pleases us, and you know, who cares what happens when we die? I'm not going to worry about it now. We can deceive ourselves. We can fool ourselves. We can think the way we're living is okay. But if we look at the Scriptures tell us differently. And God tells us what's coming. He tells us about hell. He tells us about punishment. He tells us about everlasting torment. He tells us about heaven also, where we should want to go. But in order to go to heaven, we have to do God's will. We have to put Him first in our lives and please Him above everything else. So I want to remind everyone, as we're studying this subject, that you're listening to Bible Talk. And Bible Talk is presented by the County Line Church of Christ on KFEQ 680 AM every Sunday morning at 8:30. And we're happy that you're listening, and we hope that this will be of some benefit to you, that help encourage you to study God's Word and seek to be true worshipers according to His will. Again, we meet at 9:30 this morning for Bible study and 10:20 for worship, and 4 this afternoon, and then Wednesday evenings at 7. If you would like to have a Bible correspondence course mailed to you, just leave your name and address at 816-279-4737, and we'll get that to you in the mail. And then you just mail in the first lesson, we'll grade it and send it back for the second lesson. Or if you would like to have a home Bible study where we'll come out and spend time with you and study Bible subjects that you might want to study with us, just leave that message at 279-4737, area code 816. That's 279-4737. We'll return your call. Continuing on considering our latter end, then, in the remainder of our time, we want to understand that, as we've just read here, we can fool ourselves to thinking that the way that we are going is okay and that we're going to be fine, when in reality it's not going to be okay, it's not going to be fine, and we will be found to be standing on the day of judgment before the throne of God, and we're not serving Him in spirit and in truth, worshiping Him as a true worshiper, and then we're going to be rejected. In Proverbs, the 20th chapter, and verse 24, it says, a man's goings are of Jehovah. How then can man understand his way? You see, that's the problem. We all try to figure everything out for ourselves, and our think souls are become law to us, and whatever we feel, whatever we think, that's the way it is. But we can be deceived. We can deceive ourselves. And so we have to understand this principle. If we want to find the truth and be set free from sin by responding to the truth in the proper way. In Jeremiah chapter 6, and looking at verse 16, it says, thus saith Jehovah, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And that's our problem. We don't want to do God's will. We want to do our will. We want to do what pleases us. Notice closely the antagonism between the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 gets into this in pretty good detail, where God tells us the conflict, the antagonism between the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. And so picking up at verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says there, the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, or being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning will I bring to nothing. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, knew not God. It was God's good pleasure, through the foolishness of the preaching, or that is, the thing preached, to save them that believe. Seeing that Jews ask for signs and Greeks seek after wisdom, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For behold your calling, brethren, that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God chose the foolish things of the world, that he might put to shame the things that are wise. And God chose the weak things of the world, that he might put to shame the things that are strong. And the base things of the world, and the things that are despised did God choose, yea, and the things that are not, that he might bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory before God. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And therefore, dear listener, man's wisdom is useless when it comes to serving God. You may have a list of degrees as long as a country mile, but they become useless in God's sight. Anything that would contradict and oppose the wisdom of God, which is found in his word, the Bible, is not to be followed because it's sheer foolishness. Over in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, let's look at a few verses there, 18 through 23. Let no man deceive himself. If any man thinks himself to be wise among you in this world, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He that taketh the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no one glory in men, for all things are yours. And so, we understand these principles. And so, we must consider our latter end. I want to ask you a question, dear listener. In considering your latter end, have you prepared yourself to meet your Creator in the judgment? When Jesus comes a second time, the universe will be destroyed and the judgment day will take place, that great day, and you and I are going to stand before God. And have we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? If we haven't yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and are living a faithful Christian life according to his will, then we've got to consider our latter end because we're told about it. And if you'll turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'll read it to you. We can read it together. And this should sober us up and give us that godly fear of what's going to happen in our future, when the judgment day takes place. Go to 2 Thessalonians 1. Let's read verses 7 through 9. He's speaking to Christians, of course, the Thessalonian brethren, and he says, "And to you that are afflicted, rest with us." Why would they rest? Because they're obeying the gospel. They're being faithful to God. They're putting God first in their lives. They're doing what God tells them to do to the best of their ability. But he goes on and he says, "At the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might." And then he goes on and talks to the saints, the Christians, about the good things that happen on the day of judgment for them. I want you to be in that number of the faithful. I want you to be able to be happy in the day of judgment and to be able to get to go to be with God in heaven forever and ever. But you have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to know God properly and do his will. Jesus Christ, dear listener, is the author of salvation? Is he your author of salvation? Well, the answer, again, we can find in the Bible. Go to Hebrews 5 and verses 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9 is talking there about Jesus. Though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Then verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 5. And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation, named of God, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Did you notice that there in verse 9 of Hebrews 5? That he has only become the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him. You understand, dear listener, that when we consider our latter end, we are the ones responsible in doing the will of God. Have we considered where we're going to be standing in the judgment day? Let's go to Romans chapter 14 and look at verses 10 through 12 of Romans chapter 14. Another part of God's word that helps us to consider our latter end. The last part of verse 10, it says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. You see, none of us are going to escape. This is the way it's going to be. Whether we like it or not, this is the way it is. Just like we were born into this world, we didn't have anything to say about that. We're going to die. We're going to leave this physical area that we live now on this earth. Well, we don't like that. We don't have anything to say about that. It's going to happen. Are we prepared? Are we ready? Are we subjecting ourselves to the fear of our Creator and doing His will and trying to love Him above everything else and please Him? So it says here, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. Have you considered where you will spend eternity, dear listener? Go to Matthew chapter 25. Let's look at a few verses there in the remaining minutes that we have in 25th chapter of Matthew. It's talking about the judgment day, and it says there, the Son of Man is going to come in his glory with all the angels with him. He shall sit on the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all the nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, and the goats on the left. And the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Down in verse 41, it says, he shall say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. And then in verse 46 it says, and these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And it couldn't be any plainer there, could it, dear listener? There's going to be eternal punishment, and there's going to be eternal life. And that word's the same for both. They're both going to be the same amount of time, eternal, forever and ever, either in punishment or eternal life. We want you to consider your latter end and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear God's word, all of it. Believe all of it. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ before men and be buried with him in baptism, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Turn to God on his terms, not man's terms. There are a lot of religious teachers and teachings out there now that tell you how to be saved. But I want you to go to the New Testament and let the inspired apostles tell you what you have to do. You have to believe the gospel as it's put down in the New Testament. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ before men and be immersed in water in order to receive the remission of your sins. And then you need to do this now while you have time. You need to consider your latter end before it's eternally too late. And as we've already pointed out, we can leave this life at any time. I could have a heart attack today or be in a car wreck. So many things can happen to take me out of this life. We need to be preparing. We appreciate you listening to Bible Talk this day, presented by the County Line Church of Christ. And we would encourage you to tune in again next Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. You have a nice day.